Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I would like to congratulate Ramon on approaching 70th birthday. I became acquainted with him personally only some 12 years or so, but spiritually many years ago. In 1980, in advance of quantum chemistry, there were two chapters published, one of him, one of mine. Both of them were related to some extent generalization of Hartree-Fock equation. He's about open shell restricted Hartree-Fock, mine about spin projected Hartree or extended Hartree-Fock proposed by Lerdy. I should admit or mention that when writing my textbook, I have used heavily Ramon's chapter about open shell Hartree-Fock and of course quoted it properly. So that was our spiritual meeting. This conference is basically about density function theory. Electrons have charge density and spin density. Where the problem is with spin that there is another operator, which is the square of the spin, which also commutes with the Hamiltonian and causes a lot of troubles by because we must produce singlets, doublets, triplets, and so on. So I wish to speak about the how to decompose the expectation value in the physically meaningful sense. I wish to expose the problem, discuss the approach of Clerk and Davidson, which I didn't find appropriate. I will propose some constraints which should be introduced to treat the problem and treat the single determinant case that mentioned the 3D analysis that, and related things and correlated case and discuss actual calculations examples. If we consider spin, we most often are thinking in terms of spin density. And the EPR spectroscopies, I myself started my career by as an EPR spectroscopy, consider this the most important quantity because that interacts with the magnetic field. One can measure, for instance, the spin density on that proton by the hyperfine splittings and so on. So spin density is a more or less standard density. It can be analyzed by Millikan or with other ways. And so on.
Identically zero for every singlet state. But there are systems for which we must speak about that there is some speed. For instance, and how I met, it was also in the 80s, it was antithermal. In antithermal, we are thinking about that we have localized spin sitting on transition metal atoms, which can be coupled either ferromagnetically or antiferromagnetically, and if they are antiferromagnetically coupled, we have a global singlet with two sublatices of spins. Okay. And covalent systems don't have such sublattices of speech. It is a difference. At that time I was working in the theory of antiferromagnetism, which is closely related to the spin projection theory. And we met the problem how to distinguish on the basis of wave function whether we have a singlet couplet on antiferromagnetism with local spins or we have a covalent system. At this time, I tried to use for this, that was the first proposition, the free variance index I have introduced in those years, But I couldn't connect free valence directly to the spin quantity, so it was put, how to say, forgotten for some time. Until Clerk and Davidson didn't propose a method of how to calculate local spins. They simply took the spin operator, decomposed it into atomic components, and
the expectation value of each component, one or two center components. It looks perfect. The mathematics was perfect. I reproduce his derivation both in first quantile and second quantile. I reproduce, and everything was correct, but the results were astonishing. They were in my mean opinion of the former EPR spectroscopy, unacceptable. It gave a spin on H2 molecule in RHF case. It predicted a big spin in every covalent carbon. So it couldn't help us to distinguish between a polyacetylene and an antiferromagnet. So it is, was something which is correct mathematically, but not correct physically. So it was, it contradicted the physical picture, or physical picture. I wrote in the paper then that it was unacceptable physically, then it was criticized, but it is too, by the reviewer, it is too strong, so I changed to not appealing physically, or not too much appealing physically. So, but it seems that we can't consider that there are spins because we are all have to consider where is spin, there is magnetic moment, and therefore we can measure it. But the polyacetylene or polypropylene is not an antiferromagnet. So, I have introduced two requirements. The first, we have to decompose S square. S square is zero, the overall expectation value. We have made decompose as we wish. In order, only the condition is that we must got zero as a sum. So I introduced two additional requirements. At the RHF level, no spins whatever. And if we dissociate the molecule or the system into atoms, we have to recover the spin state of the free atom or group. So, I started my derivations starting from the well-known formula of S square expectation value, which is programmed in all quantum chemical programs, started from Gaussian 70. Maybe, I think not before. But the Gaussian 70 is definitely that formula. Now, here the number of electrons can be expressed through alpha and beta densities, and we can use that for single determinants. We are speaking about single determinants. These are idempotent. And then after some algebraic manipulation, which we should not repeat on the I got this expression in which the expressions are in terms of spin density alone for single determinant. That means for RHF it is zero on all cases. As UHF it is non-zero and it properly gives one three-fourths for if H2 molecule is dissociated. So it seems okay. Also one can introduce the free valence indices in the single determinant case just can be expressed through the spin density matrix and the spin population of atom and write this in such a way. That means there is really something related to free valence, but there is another term. And of course there are two center terms which should compose to get the overall S square of the system. It was published, the program may be downloaded freely from. Okay, it is the ethylene molecule. There's until some distance, we don't have any UHF solution differing from RHF, therefore we have zero. And then it starts, and we can observe that essentially first one bond is split, then another. And it tends to practically on the carbon atom to two corresponding to, roughly we have two triplet at the infinity. Of course it is not, does not exactly the off-diagonal term compensate because we have spin, it is not a pure triplet but a mixture. Okay, it seems that for single determinants works, but why it was problematic with, which was the problem with Davidson? As I mentioned, they expressed the operator as a sum of atomic operators and computed its expectation value. Davidson claimed that it's correct in all cases because it just measures how many is the covalent term, the weight of the covalent term in which is one electron on a given atom. It is formally correct, but still we have that H2 is not a magnetic species. A polymer is not a magnetic species. So the point is that we use the idempotency relationship and we got a formula in which the atomic component of the expectation value is not non-equal to with the expectation value of an atomic operator and so for diatomic terms. We decompose the expectation value but not don't calculate the expectation value of the individual components. That is the price to pay to get physically reasonable results. If we wish to do three analyses, then it can be done either in Bader's IEM theory or fuzzy Hirschfeld like fuzzy atoms, where one introduces some atomic weights and by which one can compute atomic overlap matrices. And then repeating a very similar, okay, introduces the atomic population and free valence indices in this formula is repeating very, very similar population, one gets a very similar formula. So it's for 3D analysis, it does not seem, the difference is the sums over all the orbitals, but here is the atom. So it can be mapped to each other. One can introduce, it is interesting, the spatial density of T. That means that one can consider that S square is distributed in space, at least for single determinants. I could not yet do that for correlated case. It is essentially, for if the number of alpha and beta electrons is the same, then it is essentially to a coefficient the density of effective unpaired electrons which were introduced by Staroverov and Davidson. So, and it is due to, if the in the UHF case, the total spinless density matrix does not have the idempotency property. And it measures the deviation from this idempotency to be correct. In the correlate case, the situation was much more hard. I started from Loewdin general formula and for S square and considered every quantity as an operator. Here it is an operator which was Loewdin introduced and interchanged all the spin coordinates. From alpha alpha it makes alpha alpha, but from alpha beta it makes beta alpha essentially. After some pretty long derivation, I got the terms which are the same as in single determinant case, terms which measure the deviation from idempotency, and terms which are explicitly contain the cumulant of the second order density matrix. I will show it is atomic term. Here are these the same terms which are the same as for single determinant case, these are the terms measuring the deviation from idempotency, and these terms, these are some complicated second quantized expression, mixed second quantization formalism, measure the express the cumulant term. Okay, I will And of course, the similar thing can be done by the, in the 3D case. I let me mention that there, today evening there will be a poster about 3D decomposition of S square with Eloy Ramon. So, consider analyzing this formula, one could check by on the paper that it works well for H2 dissociated. Also, and in this case I return the spin projected wave, if I take triplet oxygen or triplet or the two active electrons of two triplet methylene groups and form from them a singlet oxygen or a singlet triplet, then the wave function of this four electron can be expressed as a spin that projected determinant which corresponds to the first duet triplet here, a duet triplet there, and form a resulting singlet of that. It could be considered that this also gives us the proper triplet for both ends. So this means that the formula which I showed is able to recognize the local triplets within the global signet. On the paper, I couldn't go farther, but we could derive a working formula explicitly in terms of cumulants, which could be programmed, and together with our present chairman, we did a lot of actual calculation. Oh, this is the cumulant, and these are the C's where the coefficients of nature orbit are. So it is just in press. That means we can decompose the expectation value of the S-sphere operator in atomic and diatomic terms. And let us look how they behave. I mentioned that I wanted first to apply the frivolence index, and I couldn't get any resonant results on paper because it expresses only the non-idempotency, but does not contain the cumulant. But it's something very closely related conceptually. So it is the first calculation. H2 molecule at this base is set. Full CIA cast, if one can distinguish, then the dotted lines are the cast. They are very close. And essentially, the frivolence index curve and the S-square atomic components looks very similar. But it's interesting, there is something on the SA square which behaves not quite smooth just where the UHF wave function does appear, but why, whether it is has any reason, it was not yet analyzed. Also, they are very similar. They are not as in a simple function of each other. If I show SA squared atomic spin with respect versus the spin density, that it is linear somewhere, but it changes quickly another part. Okay, for nitrogen, it dissociates high spin quartet. Okay, 375 and three electrons, everything fine, as it should. Oxygen singlet, oxygen triplet. Both dissociates to the triplet properly as it's required. It is interesting that the free valence in this system does not, on the triplet does not dissociate to 2, but dissociates to 2.5. It was discussed by Davidson and Sarovirov that it should be, and it is due to the degeneracy. In this sense, it shows that this is a more appropriate quantity, the atomic component of the, because it is simply gives the same value as a free atom. This is within the molecule, even if they are infinite far, we have not two, which would be one would be expected, but 2.5. So spin square is better in this sense again than free valence, but of course much harder to compute. Okay, this carbon atom in ethane molecule, again everything behaves as should. We don't have practically any spins at equilibrium distance. We have practically triplet one single doublet carbon atom at the end. Ethylene, similar behavior, but here it is the methylene group which is triplet. That means the contribution of hydrogen is not negligible. The carbon alone is going little down, lower, but practically similar. And the free valence is the same, I didn't show. So everything which one expected is gone. We have calculated some more complex systems, both cache and pi electron cache, and UHF level. Roughly speaking, they are similar, but and we have, you can see there is 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 4. There is some in such systems, some antiferromagnetic type, of, but decaying. At the same time, at UHF, this decay is lower or not cannot be observed at all. So there is antiferromagnetic character or component of the pi electron system is overestimated at the UHF level, so better cast. Very interesting is cyclobutadiene, which is in equilibrium. DH2 does not show much spins, but if we force it square, then it behaves as a molecular antiferromagnet almost, and with a pretty high spin, which just antiferromagnetic oscillation, the same can be seen at the UHF level too. Also, we did consider the curve, it is a curve, we change the ratio of the size of the cyclobutadiene. The minimum is somewhere here, where not high spin, local spin, so it is not. While this quasi-antiferromagnetic character can be observed when we force it to be square very sharply. And there is a small shoulder of the energy that is not. It is known that this system is an example of Moscher's point-like discontinuity. In the object square form, the RHF has a very high, if we force it to be symmetric, very high energy. I am just finishing, because it is, if I correctly remember, the last. Yes, I can't go farther. So, to conclude, for many systems, antiferromagnets, binuclear complexes, and so on, we have to assume that there are local spins. But the system is singlet, so we may identify spins through their contribution to S square expectation value. It is an idea not yet explored that one can form this spin in transition states. And distinguish whether the reaction goes through radical mechanisms or ionic mechanisms. If we got a big spin at the transition state, it will be a radical mechanism. So in that sense, it is hopefully more than an analytic work in some conceptually interesting things, but hopefully it can be useful for applied chemistry too. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much for your talk. So the paper is open for discussion.
Alright, one thing I need the microphone. You need? Oh, okay. I have maybe a naive question and a suggestion. Let's start with a question.
On one hand, you have vanishing of spin density at each point of Cartesian space. On the other hand, you have vanishing of expectation value of a square operator. Is there implication both ways or not?
S square, vanishing of S square, it, for any yes, for any singlet we have S square is zero, and they are of course related.
Well, if S square is zero, does it imply that the spin density is zero everywhere?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, and the other way around?
If the spin density is zero, S square is not necessarily zero. Yes, we can. Yes, it is a well-known theorem that for any singlet, the spin density is identically zero, and for other side, if you have a singlet, two hydrogen atoms in coupled in singlet at infinity, you will have here 1 3/4 of S squared and 3 3/4 of S squared, which are coupled, of course, together to give an overall singlet.
And I have a suggestion. I think this kind of analysis would be very useful for some systems for which the biradical character is, in a sense, put in question sometimes. And what I mean in particular is para-benzyne. That would be one example, yeah? Para-dihydro-benzene, and also some small propellants. Whether the existence of bond between the two carbon atoms.
Yes, it is just a mean for that, of such pure poses.
A very interesting word, very nice. Question for you. Why is S square A, in many of the slides, not zero near equilibrium? I see that it goes to the asymptotic correct, S times S plus 1. The local speed, 0.75 in the case of, but why isn't exactly zero near equilibrium?
Because there is correlation. It would be exactly zero if the system would be described by RHF level.
Yeah,
but the correlation means that there is some fluctuation of spins, which is in average gives some.
So it's because of dynamic correlation.
It is dynamic correlation. Exactly, it is dynamic correlation, yes.
And another question, if I may. Have you thought about generalizing this to non-collinear spins?
There
are many cases of frustration in lattices where spins won't be parallel, and there is symmetry breaking that gives you complex eigenfunctions, and it would be very interesting if you think.
I have never thought about I was thinking about that, generalize this when the magnetic field appears in an antiferrum.
No, you don't need a magnetic field, just a chromium cluster of three atoms in a triangle, and there is experimental evidence for the spins not being collinear, and I'll send you our paper where we have calculated this with symmetry broken DFT, and you get spins that are lay on the plane and point outwards.
That is an interesting point. One. Here I compute the S square expectation value. One can of course compute if the system is open shell or described by open shell, UHF or unrestricted DFT theory. One can have spin density. The S square is a scalar. S square and it gives scalar contribution, so that the direction one, whether one can some implicit manner conclude about direction, but probably not explicitly, because it is a scalar.
Any other question? No. Not like the speaker again.